Parsha Struma, Beis Tvila, Tovshin Ein Vav. Says the Pasuk, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, Vayikhu Li Truma, Me'eis Kol Ish, Ashe Yitvenu Liboy, Tikhu Es Trumasi. Hashem commands Bnei Yisrael, Vayikhu Li Truma. Says the Medrash, Vayikhu es trumasi, Hadu dichsiv, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, Toirasi alta asif. The Medrash darshans the word Vayikhu to be lekach. Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, Toirasi alta asif. We're connecting to the Torah. Vayikhu. Says the Medrash right by us. Yesh lecha adam lekeach mekach. A person could buy something. Ve'einam yodim mahu. They're not aware of what they're buying. So how can they identify what they're buying? Av mischa sausur mizvade malokach. You can identify the value for how much the agent gets a cut. For example, I personally cannot identify the difference between plastic diamonds, fake ones, and real ones. Lucky to me, my wife can't either. So she's happy with the plastic ones. She doesn't mind. So, how can I tell if I see someone passing on selling a diamond? How can I know if is it plastic? Is it made in China, mass produced? Was it real, a real South African mine diamond, an African diamond? How can I tell? I can see how much the agent, the middleman, the man who connects between the seller and the buyer, what cut is he getting? How much is he being paid? If he's being paid $100, so obviously, from there I can see this is something plastic, it's something artificial. If he's being paid $100,000, so obviously this must be a heavy precious stone. So if we get in the Torah, we're buying the Torah, kilekach toiv nasati lochem, and we're not aware what Torah is, we don't understand what are we buying. Says the Medrash, look at the schar of the sarsur. Sarsur is the middleman, the agent. Who is the sarsur? Who is the agent of the Torah? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. He passed on the Torah from the giver, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the receiver, is Am Yisrael. And what did he get? He became so elevated. He became so holy that Kikaran Or Ponov Dabra Itai. He was radiating. He was shining. He became so elevated that people couldn't stand in his presence. He had to hide his face. There we can see from the south, so we can identify what has been sold. This, in fact, this concept of not being aware of what you're buying has halachic ramifications. A story happened in the time of the Rishonim. In Agos Ashri, in Bav Metzia, Perek Beis, Simon Tes. A story happened. There was a Jew, let's call him Reuven, who bought a sheet of tin from a goy to cover his roof. After Reuven bought the sheet, he changed his mind. He decided he doesn't want it for his roof. He wants a thatched roof. So Reuven sells it on to Shimon. Shimon now buys the slate of tin to put up on his roof. As he puts it up on his roof, Shimon gets the shock of his life. Because under the layer of tin was a layer of pure silver. And the question was asked, does Shimon have to give it to Reuven? Reuven owned the sheet of tin with the silver, and Reuven sold it to Shimon. Does Shimon have to give it back to Reuven? Obviously, the price wasn't the price of silver, it was the price of tin. Obviously, Reuven wasn't aware of what he had, but it was his. It was his slate of tin with silver. Does Shimon have to give it back to Reuven? What do you say? What would you say? So that means, since the price wasn't the price of silver, he would have to give it back to Reuven. It was Reuven's. What do you say? So it goes to Reuven. The question was asked to Ablezer Mimitz, the Re'im. Says Ablezer Mimitz, Reuven never owned the tin, never owned the silver. You don't have to give it to him. Because since he wasn't aware of what he had, he had no intention of acquiring it, he didn't buy it. The original vendor was a goy. So it's not discussed there. Aveda Sakum is mutar. Therefore, Shimon does not have to give it to Reuven. Because Reuven was never aware that he possessed that silver. Therefore, he never owned it. And this is the Din Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshe Mishpat, Simer Reish Lamed Gimel Siv Yud Ches. That's the halacha. If someone sells on an item, he's not aware what was there, the middleman never bought it. Because if you don't know what you're buying, it's not yours. Therefore, that's what the Medrash is about. If we're buying Torah, Kilekach Toiv, if we don't know what we're buying, it's lacking in our kinyan, it's lacking in our connection, if we don't know what there is. The Mishnah says in Ovis, in Perek Gimel, Chavivin Yisrael, Shenitan Lehem Klei Chemdo. Yisrael are beloved, that Hashem gave them his Klei Chemdo, his toy, so to speak. They have even more favor that they knew that they know they got the clay chemda. Two levels. Then we have chiba yisera, an extra chiba noidas that they know about the clay chemda. Shenemar ki lekach toiv nosati lochem toirosi al tazoiv. That's what the Mishnah says. There was a great Rav called Rav Chaim Kreisworth. He was Rav Volpe's brother-in-law. He used to be the Rav of Antwerp. And when war broke out, the Second World War broke out, he received a permit to leave. There was a rich Jew who approached him and said, Rav Chaim, you're leaving. I'm here. I don't know if I'm going to survive, but I have a bank account in Switzerland. I have a fortune of money stacked away in a bank account. Please, if I don't survive, please, I have a nephew who lives in America. Please look out for him. Inform him that he has a Yerusha. Chaim left. He survived. The rich man was killed with everyone else. And after the war, Reb Chaim was looking for this relative, couldn't find him. 25 years later, Reb Chaim was traveling in New York on the train, and a broken Jew sat next to him, a poor man, and they were talking, and the poor man was complaining about his bitter fate, such a difficult time, can't make ends meet, can't pay the bills, he's struggling, needs to be supported. So he was pouring out his heart to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim asked him, what's your name? He said, Pliny. Who? Are you a relative of that rich man? Sure, he's my uncle. So Reb Chaim, mazel tov. You You should know there's waiting for you in a Swiss bank account. You have a fortune of money waiting for you. Fine. I want to ask you a question. Was this poor man, did he have money or he didn't have money? We now, looking back, during those 25 years, did he own money or he didn't own money? I'm asking, did you own money? He owned money. We now know he had an inheritance. So I ask you, was he rich or was he poor?
Now
it call a deus. Now the call a deus, call a shittus, he's rich. But during those 25 years, was he a rich man or a poor man? How can he be poor if he owns a fortune?
He didn't know.
Because he didn't know. If you don't know what you have, you're a poor man. Says the Mishnah, Chavivin Yisrael Shenitan Nem Klei Chemta. Amazing. We're beloved, we get the Klei Chemta. But he, but you say, Noidas Loem Shenitan Nem Klei Chemta. If you know about it, that's the Chavivus. Because if you don't know of your heritage, you're not aware of what you have, you're a poor man. That's the Chiba Yosera. I've been told that we've all been to train stations and we've seen people play, they sit down, put out a plate, a box in front of themselves, and they play musical instruments. They sing, people dance and sing. And every so often a passerby enjoys the tune, will put down a coin. We've seen this before. I've been told there was the world's top violin player, the one who plays in the top orchestras. You pay a fortune just to go and listen to him. They made an experiment and he went to one of these bus stations, one of his train stations, and he sat down and took out his professional violin and he put out a plate and he played the music like he does in a philharmonic orchestra, and he, with all his professional sound, the beautiful sound that takes years and years of practice, and he sat down and he played, and what did he get in his plate? Break it. Now, why is it that all the passerby, the hundreds and thousands of people passed him, why is it they didn't stop to appreciate the music? This is professional, this is top class, world class. He's there. It's the same violin, the same player. It normally plays, performs in front of thousands of people. You have to pay $100 just to listen. How is it people are not stopping to hear? They're hearing the same music. Why is it they're not stopping to use the opportunities for free? What's the reason? It's the same people, the same player. Manishtano. People didn't know. Had they known who he was, they would have stopped and used the opportunity. They didn't know who he was. They assumed, it's a correct assumption, that people playing in the subways are unsuccessful musicians. Why would a world-class musician be playing in the subway? That's a fair assumption. So why would I spend my time? True. So even though he was there for them, their ear was hearing his music, but they didn't connect to this opportunity because they didn't know what was there for them. Oh, this is such a message for us. We're all rich. What do I mean? Baruch Hashem, everyone present can breathe. You go to hospital, you see, not simple. There are many people who have tubes connected to their nose. They walk around with oxygen tank, because they can't breathe. So we're rich. Baruch Hashem, we can all breathe. But the question is, do you know if we're rich or not rich? If we recognize it. If we recognize the gift. If we understand, can't take it for granted. There's no guarantee. Then we're rich. Because we connect. If you know what you have it. If you don't know what you have, we don't have it, we just pass by. It's not ours, we're not connecting to our richness. Baruch Hashem, everyone here walked to the shir. There's no one who came in a wheelchair. We can all walk. Can't take it for granted. There are many people whose bodies don't move anymore. They cannot lift the arms or legs. We can, Baruch Hashem. We're rich. On one condition. If we recognize what we have, if we appreciate it, then we're rich. Baruch Hashem. But if we don't know what you have, you don't have it. Just like the guy who had the silver. He bought the silver, it was his. He didn't know what he had. Didn't have it. The Ani didn't know he had money. He's a poor man. And likewise is our Torah and mitzvahs. If we understand the schus of doing a mitzvah, we understand the merits of putting on a tefillin in the morning, the schus to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak to Him, Ka'imid Efrei HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to us. If we know that, we're rich. Wow, what an opportunity. What a schus. You can do a chesed. You can say good morning to someone. Cheer him up. It's a schus. If you know that, you're rich. Because you can appreciate it. You're connected. It becomes yours. But, if you don't know that, just do it out of habit. The brain doesn't realize what we have. Doesn't realize the opportunities that we go through every day. It's not ours, we don't connect. We stay poor. If Shabbos by us is a day when I can't read my mails. I'm itching for Shabbos to get out so I can see the stock market, what happened. Get to see the news. All those reports that went out on Shabbos. I want to read them. I'm off to Shabbos straight away. No, on Shabbos out. If that's your Shabbos, even though you're keeping Shabbos, it's not yours. You don't know what you have. You recognize that it's a schus. Shabbos is a holy day. It's a schus. It's a bracha. Then even though we don't understand exactly what it is, but you look at the schar, the sarsur, if you just know that Shabbos is a day of Kirbas Hashem, then we're rich, then we have it. If we don't know, we don't have it. And that's what we learn from this week's this medrash. Where the medrash says, Lekach toiv nasati elochem. People don't know what they have. Therefore what? Not theirs. At least you can look at the schar, the sarsur, and you can recognize, at least from him, identify with something great. And then you connect and it becomes ours. The Medrash Tanchuma by us in Parshas Truma also picks up on this pasuk. Vayikhu li Truma zesh omar kosuv ki lekach toiv nasati lochem. And the Medrash tells us about a chover echad. There was a chover is the Talmud Chacham, who was on a ship with all the merchants. It's a ship, coming in with all the merchandise. They're coming from, they bring ivory, precious stones, spices, and all coming back home with their merchandise. And they ask the chover, "Where is your merchandise?" And he tells them, "My merchandise is bigger than yours." And what? They go around the ship looking to see any unidentified parcels, baggage, nothing there. They start making fun of him. They pass by Somalia, they get attacked by pirates, and the pirates come and they steal all the merchandise. They land on shore penniless with nothing, just the clothes that they're wearing. The chover goes into the Beis Medrash, starts speaking to people, speaks to people learning. They realize Yesh Godel b'kirbeich. They see, wow, there's a huge Talmud Chacham just arrived. The whole shul get together, the uproar, all the chashuvei hakol are coming to be mechabed the Talmud Chacham, give him food and lodging, and the whole keila comes and escorts him to his achsania, whole entourage, and the poor merchants, they're all hungry and starving, cold, and they see the chover being accompanied, so they approach him. They say, "Bakosha mimcha," they say, "Please, we ask a toiva, do us a favor, please. Remember who we are. You know our story. Please ask the Bnei Eir to have mercy on us. Give us some bread. Give us some clothes to wear." So the chover told them, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that my merchandise is bigger than yours? Why? Because shelachem ovad, your merchandise got lost, but my merchandise is kayemesh ki lekach toiv nosati lochem." That is the tanchuma by us. What does that mean? The ruchnis we have, the mitzvah we did, the Torah we learned, that's what we have. We're commanded vayikhu li truma. And ready ask the Alshich, why is it called vayikhu li truma? It should be vayitnu li truma. When you give a donation, you're not taking, you're giving, you give donations. Am Yisrael should be asked to vayitnu li truma. And the answer is said by the Beis Halevi, because when a person gives, he's in fact taking. Why is that? Yikmaam Barba Basra Yudalef Amudalef Maise B'mun Baz Amelech Shebiz Beis Oitzroisov Oitzroisav Oitzroisav Yimei Shnei Batzoyres. There was a year of famine, and he opened the royal treasure and took out all the gold and silver and precious stone and spent the money to feed the people. And he spent and he spent. And the royal family came to complain. And they told him, "Avoisecha gonzu voisifu ala voisa. Your fathers increased the royal treasure more than their own fathers. And you are wasting it. You're decreasing the royal treasure." Said Mumbaz, said back to them, "It's not true." Said, "My fathers, they stored their treasure in a place that could be taken, it could be stolen from them. I'm storing the royal treasures in a place where no one can steal it from me." "Avoisai gonzu la'achirim. My forefathers, they stored it for other people. Vani gonazti la'atzmi. I'm storing my treasures for myself. Avoy Saigon Zuloilam Hazeh. My forefathers are storing for this world. Ani gonasti loilam haba. Meaning, what we have in this world is not ours, not for us to keep. There's no guarantee. Just like the story we had before. Some pirates come, it's gone. Mas achnasa arrives. Gone. Plenty of things can take your money away. But you give, take that you have. The famous story of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim about a person who spent all his life with his friends. He would hang out, his best friends all day. That friends he would hang out all the time with, most of the day. He look after his friends, invest in his friends, birthday parties, you know. Then he had some shpocha, and he had some casual friends he might never met. Every so often you meet them a few minutes. Very casual friends. He didn't even like their company. Just being polite. One day, the person receives a summons to the Beis HaMelech. He's been called to the king. Oyvei, why? Why? Maybe someone said bad things about me. Maybe he's going to judge me. Maybe he's going to punish me. So he approaches his best friends, the ones he hangs out with all day. Can you help me? All his friends tell him, leave us alone. Forget it. Look after yourself. He approaches his family. Says, can you help me? Look, we will accompany you till the gate of the king, till the entrance of the palace. But then you're by yourself. He has no choice. He approaches his casual friends, the ones he doesn't even like. And they tell him, we're coming with you. We'll go inside the palace. We'll speak up for you. We'll plead for you. Says the Chofetz Chaim, who is a person's best friend? The one he spends all day looking after them, investing in them. Who are these people? The Gelt. His money. He spends all day in his money. That's what he does all day. Making more money, investing in his money. But then, and he has the second level is his shpocha's family. Third level is casual friends. These are the odd mitzvahs he does every so often. He has to do it. Social pressure. He has to do a few mitzvahs here and there. Give a few coins. Fine. Then comes the summons to the king. What's the summons to the king? Yeah. Malach HaMoves, there's a summon, everyone's called up to Shemaim. No, Pachat, what's going to be judged? So we approach our best friend, the Gelt. No, I spent so much time in you, I give you thousands of hours of my life, I think about you all day, I'm trying to help you grow, give you whatever you need to flourish. Can you help me? Leave us alone, forget it. Cut me out, forget it. So he approaches his family. Can you help me? We'll accompany you till the gate. Where's the gate? Where's the gate between heaven, earth and heaven? It's the Beis HaKvaras. That's the way we... No, it's the family, Mishpocha, they accompany till the gate. So who goes with? Who's the third friend, the casual friend? They go with you all the way and they'll speak up for you, they'll fend for you, they'll plead for you. Who's that? It's your Torah and your mitzvahs. Your Torah and your mitzvahs, those are your real friends. They will go up and they will speak for you and they will fight for you. So therefore, Vayikhu li truma. Should say Vayitnu. No, Vayikhu. What you give, you're getting. What you didn't give, it's lachirim. There's no guarantee you'll have it. Many years ago, I said over this shir, this idea, and there was a member of the shir who told me, a listener, says, I come from Tel Aviv, and I had two good friends. They both made it big. They both own chains of stores in Tel Aviv. They both made very big money. My first friend made a bad investment, did a bad deal, he went bankrupt, had to sell them all, to sell all his assets. He lost all his money. My second friend stayed really big, he was doing really well. So one day, they found a tumor in his head. 3 months later, he was already underground. It was all over. So you have two people with lots of money. One has his money taken from him, and the other one has himself taken from his money. What you give, the mitzvah you did, that's what you have. The rest is gonzul acherim, not for you. Rabbi Chazka Sarno was the head of Yeshiva Chevron, Slabodki Yeshiva, which moved from Slabodka to Eretz Yisrael. He once went to Chutz La'aretz to fundraise. So he called in all the gvirim, all the well-to-do wealthy people, the meeting. There's one wealthy man who at the time had paid for the yeshiva to go from Slabodka to Eretz Yisrael. He was a very wealthy person, and he gave a major donation for that to happen. But then he lost his money. He was no longer was he wealthy. He didn't have any more money. Chazka would decide, should I invite him or not invite him? He decided I'm not going to invite him to the meeting. It'll be painful for him because he doesn't have any abilities anymore. So why should I invite him to such a meeting? He wasn't invited. In the middle of the meeting, there's a knock at the door, and this previously rich man walks in, says, "I want to speak. Please let me speak." And this man comes in and he says, he addresses all the gvirim, "My brothers, this world is a galgal, it's a wheel. Things turn. I used to be rich, now I struggle just to make ends meet. I've lost all my money. What do I have left? What do I yes have that I won't sell for all the money in the world?" It's the money I gave to the Slabodka Yeshiva to take them from the Slabodka to sell, that's what I have. All the rest of my money is gone. What I gave is what I have. It's not for sale. Says Rabbi Sai, wherever you can give, give it now. Because that's what you have. What you don't give, there's no guarantee you're going to have it. It was a major successful fundraiser meeting, because everyone gave. I'm not fundraising for anything. Rabbi Sai, this is the story. What? The mitzvah we do, the good deed we do, the tzedakah we give, is what we have. Everything else, we don't have. Going to another point, but still all connects. We learn in this week's parasha about the kelim, various vessels of the Mishkan. We have the Arayin, where we keep the Luchos HaBris. We have the Shulchan, and we have the Mizbeach. The Kli Yakar points out there's a difference between the Arayin and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach in the dimensions, in the figures we give. If you look carefully, the figures, the dimensions of the Arayin are 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos with the height of 1.5 amos. All of the figures are all broken figures, incomplete figures. 2.5, 1.5, and 1.5. By the Mizbeach, there are 2 Mizbeachos. There's the Mizbeach HaZov, Mizbeach HaNacheshes. The Mizbeach HaNacheshes, the bigger one, was 5 by 5, the height of 3. All the figures are complete. And the height of 3 height. The Mizbeach HaZov is 1 by 1 to the height of 2. All the numbers are complete figures. So again, the Arayin, all the figures are all broken figures. By the Mizbeach, they're all complete figures. And by the Shulchan, here we have a compromise. The Shulchan was 2 by 1 to the height of 1.5. Most of it was shalim, and part of it was broken. Says the Tiyakar. The idea over here, Arayin is the Torah, is Ruchnius. A person should never be content with his Torah. You finish the daf, learn the next daf. You finish the next daf, finish the Masechta. You finish the Masechta, finish the Seder. Seder Noshin, Seder Zikin. You finish Seder Zikin, go for Shas. You finish Bavli, go to Yerushalmi. Never sit back and say, I finished. Never feel complete. Always want more. That's by Ruchnius. Mizbeach symbolizes kapara. Person did a chet. You should feel shalim. Gives a kapara, therefore all the figures are shalim. That's what the Kliyakar says. What about the Shulchan? Shulchan symbolizes richness. Therefore, a person should feel sameach b'chelko. Should feel rich. Shouldn't want more. Therefore, roiv, the majority of the midos, of the dimensions of the Shulchan are complete. Sameach b'chelko. I have what I have. I have Baruch Hashem. I'm a rich man. I have all that I need. What's the broken part? You shouldn't give yourself all your rotzin. Shouldn't give yourself all your titles, all your abilities. Should hold back a bit. That's what the Kiyokos says. But this year I saw in the Lekach Toiv a different twist, which I think is very beautiful, to the Shulchan. Why is it the Shulchan? Its dimensions are Sholem and Sholem. 2 by 1. But the height is 1.5. And the answer is, in every Gashmius, there's Ruchnius. There's nothing that doesn't have Ruchnius to it. What do I mean? Here's a chair. The chair, does it have any Dusha to the chair? No. It's Gashmius, not Kodesh. But I decide how to use it. I can sit in a chair and be part of a shir, or I can sit in a chair and watch a movie. It all depends what I do with the chair. Every gashmius can be utilized for ruchnius. Everything. Everything a Jew does, you can use it. He has a choice to use it for good or for bad. Are you eating? For the taivas, you're eating to have menuchas and nefesh, so you can go back and do the right things. That's what life is. Every ruchnias has a purpose. Anything in this world has a purpose you could use for good or not for good. So therefore, the Shulchan, the dimensions of the Shulchan are 2 by 1. Shalim, Baruch Shehev. But the height, the ruchnias, is not Shalim. Don't be content with the ruchnius of your gashmius. Maybe you can do it better. Maybe you can improve. Maybe you can do a chesed with what you have. Maybe you can help someone. And I'd like to now throw in my last story, and this ties everything we said today together. Where I daven in the morning, there's a certain member of the shul. He has a hard time walking. Don't think he's a healthy person. He comes in every day, and he always brings a bag of tissues to put out. The shul where I daven, there's no facial tissues. Right there, and he brings, and it's very helpful. It's cold outside. People have running noses. So I told him shkoyach. Shkoyach. He told me, this is my business. What do you mean, business? Look, Very simple. How much does a tissue cost? How much is a single tissue? How much is it worth? 10 agorot is an overstatement. So look, I spent 10 agorot on your tissue. Start counting to me the mitzvahs esed the rice he's doing. So this is my best business. I provide for the tzibur a tissue, 10 agorot, and I get every time someone takes a tissue, I'm getting so many mitzvahs esed. This might be you change shkoyah to me. That's my business. Our boys say this ties into all that we said today. If we know what we have, if we know what it means to do a chesed to someone, then we're rich. Look at this guy. He's making every day. He's putting in his heavenly bank account. Putting so many mitzvahs, just like people blowing their nose. He's mechaben for that. Half him to walk, he comes, but you know, makes sure to bring a packet. If you know what you have, you're rich. What do we have? It's what we give, a mitzvah. The rest we do, we don't have it. We're not going to take with us. So you come to Oidam Abba, you don't take the guests of us off. We could utilize our gashmius and make it into ruchni. Every person in his life has his opportunities to use it for good things, to help someone, help your family. Then we're indeed rich. Our time's up, so we should be zeicha to take these messages into our life, and we'll indeed have a rich, and we'll come to Olam Haba rich. And we have indeed, we also have billions of dollars. Chibas, if we recognize what we have. We have Baruch Hashem, we're breathing, we're walking, we have wonderful things, and we should utilize them for good things. The next shiur will be in 5 minutes about truma. Can you, the money you spend on your kids for their food, can you take it off your ma'isik sofim? Is it a donation to your kids? Can you deduct it from your ma'isik sofim or no? I have to feed my kids, I have to look after them, therefore I cannot take off my sofim. That will be our next discussion. Thank you very much. In 5 minutes' time. Shukr. Have a good Shabbos.